Your Bible's going to turn with Genesis chapter 39. Look at Genesis chapter 39. I went to eye doctor this afternoon. I thought I was just going for a quick checkup, and I was there about an hour and a half, and they dilated my eyes. So everybody looks bright and glowing tonight. So you guys all have sunshiny faces on this evening. Genesis chapter 39. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand. We read God's word tonight. Look at Genesis chapter 39, beginning and then reading in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him by the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, an Egyptian. His master saw the Lord was with him. The Lord made him all that that he did to prosper into his hand. Then Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and the field. Then if you would turn over to the same chapter, on down to verse 19, still in chapter 39, verse 19. And it came to pass, when the master heard that the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After to this manner did thy servant to me," and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, and in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because that the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Father, Lord, we ask you to, Lord, thank you tonight, Lord, that you want to speak to hearts. And Father, we ask you now, Lord, to again speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we have come tonight with a desire to hear from you. Lord God, Lord, I ask you, Lord, even tonight while I preach, help my heart to listen, help my heart to be attentive. And Lord, I pray you'd work in my life tonight as well. Lord, thank you for the example that we read last time of Abraham, and Lord, how when trials came in his life, that he tried to handle them his own way, Lord, and we saw then the results, and help us learn from that, Lord. Tonight, as we look at the life of Joseph, Lord, we see that he apparently handled things the right way, and you blessed, and Lord, I pray so tonight that you help us to learn from the life of Joseph. Accomplish your will, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You good. Have a seat. Good. Go ahead if you put back up to Genesis chapter 39, and we'll be reading in verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him. We'll look tonight at verse 2, and maybe part of verse 3, but I'm not sure yet. But it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. I went to the Webster Dictionary, and I looked up the word prosperous. It means to advancing in the pursuit of anything desirable, pushing forward. It said advancing in the pursuit of anything desirable. You know, I began to think about the life of Joseph. You might say from his youth up, he had a lot of trials in life. You know, he was his father's child. He was going to coat him in colors. His brothers, they mocked him and they laughed at him. You know, and so I'm sure that made his childhood rough. Then one day his dad sent him out with a lunch. To take to his brothers, and that they got out there. And his brothers, three-minute pit, and then a little bit later some Ishmaelites came along, and they took Joseph out of the pit, and they sold him for a slave to the Ishmaelites. And then here in chapter 39, we see that they brought him down to Egypt, and he became a servant to many Potiphar, and things went well there. And then his wife falsely, then Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph, and he was thrown in in prison. In prison, he interpreted some dreams and the guys that they had promised Joseph they wouldn't forget, and yet they forgot what they promised. And then turn over to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You can hold your place there in Genesis 39, Genesis chapter 50, in verse 20. Here's where I would like to get in my life. We're going to read this verse, then we're going to go back. It says, of course, with Joseph, his father has passed away, and now his brothers, for fear Joseph might come back. Joseph, before Dad died, he said, "Don't hold a grudge, against the brothers, and don't ask you any kind of vengeance on them." So they was begging for their life. And in verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant unto good to bring to pass this day to save much people alive." You know, here in the life of Joseph, I think the word prosperous, I think he defined this life. I believe what he did. He let go of the past and he went ahead. He let go of the past and he went ahead in his life. My whole thought this evening is this: I'm afraid to walk much. I'm afraid I can't see. I'll walk off the platform again. But Daniel, did you hear that? A while back, I was walking, and I just walked off the platform, fell on my face, ugly. Not my face, but the way I fell. So you hear in your text, apparently that he didn't hold a grudge, but he kept on going. I begin to think in our lives, I believe it's important in our lives that we choose to advance in the pursuit of anything desirable. It's important that we push forward and then we keep going. Now, with that in mind, turn over to Psalm. I know I wrote it down. Psalm 109. We still have feelings. Psalm 109. Here we see that David hit a low point in his life. Psalm 109. Hey, I'm going to put this on. I think I stutter worse when I try to stand still. That's my excuse anyway. Psalm 109. We see here that David has he's going through a hard time, and here in the section that I want to look at, he's praying these things what happened to Saul. Look at verse 9. He's praying about Saul. Let his children be fatherless, his wife a little. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of the desert places. Verse 10. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. And let them seek their bread also out of the desert places. Who was probably David's best friend? Jonathan. Whose father was Jonathan? Saul. And so here at a time when he felt at a low, he prayed, let his children be continually vagabonds. There are some times when we go through hard times of life that we say things that we don't mean, and we feel ways that we don't feel. And I think here in the life of Joseph, there's never a mention where he had where he would say, "I'd like to smack my brothers." There's never a mention where he would do that. But I can imagine through those hard times that he had some feelings where he was hurt. I mean, when your family turns against you, it hurts. When folks say ill things about you, it hurts. When you're sold as a slave in a foreign land and you think you'll never see your family again, that hurts. And I'm sure like David, he had those feelings. But there's never a mention in scriptures where he felt that way. All we know, he was a prosperous man. He didn't look back. He always looked ahead. And then I began to look at the scripture, and I began to think, to study. It has to be hard to let go and let God take care of things. Lady, come up here real quick again. Here's my lovely wife. She is lovely, isn't she? She's a sweetheart. Okay, face that way. Okay, Lydia, I want you just to fall back and I'll catch you, I promise. Why is it she turn and look? It's hard. It's not. I wouldn't let her fall, would I? I wouldn't let you fall. No, I wouldn't let her fall. I wouldn't let her stop. Because it's hard for us to let go and trust anyone. It's hard for us to let go of the past and look ahead and say, God, I trust you to take care of it. Sometimes in our lives, I think that we think of God like we think. We try to bring God, you know, and God's outside our box. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are far above our ways. And it's hard sometimes to stop. Thank you, Lydia. See that was. It's hard just to stop and let go. I think there's two reasons. There are two things that we need to do to be prosperous in our lives. I think that the first thing we need to do is to humble ourselves. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Over the book of Luke, chapter 15. I'm afraid in today's time, many of us, self included, we have become a proud people. Look at Luke chapter 15. Of course, we know it's a parable of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and said to his father, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran on and fell on his neck and kissed him. And amen for that. And then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost, is found. And they began to be merry. Verse 23, now the elder brother was in the field. He went home, he stayed home, and he'd worked. He came and drew nigh to his house. He heard music and dancing, and called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother's come, and the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore came to his father and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. The elder brother, you know, had stayed home, he had served, and he had worked there with his father. You know, he stayed home, and he had done that which he ought to do. You know, and then all of a sudden, his son seems to like the younger brother seems to get all the attention. You know, he comes out of that field. He sees all the shit's going on, and he sits and begins to pout. Well, I've done this, and I've done that. He was proud, but how many times have hard times come into our life when we said, "Lord, I don't deserve this. Lord, I'm serving you. Lord, I'm doing this and I'm doing that." And sometimes in our minds, we think because we're serving God and we're doing right, between her cancer and my little appendix, little thing causes a lot of pain. You know, appendix. You know, and I know when you're tired and you're weary. Sometimes we think, Lord, what did I do? Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Lord, I'm trying to do right. Now this and this comes up and this comes up. And sometimes we think that we shouldn't have to suffer because we're a child of the King. We shouldn't have to suffer because we're trying to do right. We're in the field working. We shouldn't have to suffer because it's not us that's going out there and living ungodly. And there are some times that we need to stop and humble ourselves and realize that I'm not above being hurt. I'm not above having sickness come into my life. I'm not above, you know, I'm not too good of any of those things. Because in our lives, it said over in Job chapter 15, hard times will come to all of our lives. The good, the bad, you know, there'll be times in our lives when things happen that we can't understand. That's because we live in this world, because we're living in the flesh. And, you know, we can use whatever rationale that we want to use, but the bottom line is that I'm not too good to have to suffer. I'm not too good to be exempt from being sick and having heartaches. I'm not too good to be wronged. I'm not too good for hard times to come. I think of Christ. It says that he said, he who knew no sin. If anyone was too good for hard times and suffering, it was our Savior. If anyone was too good to avoid being talked at and mocked and ridiculed and suffering and going without in all points tempted as we are, he was in every area that we're ever tempted, he was tempted. If anyone was too good to be exempt from those things in life, it was him. But even here on earth, I think Hebrews, I think it's 13:5, in all points tempted like we are, yet that sin. So I think that the first thing that we have to do to be prosperous is to come to the point when we realize that I'm not too good to suffer. I'm not too good to hard times come into my life. The second thing, look if you would at 2 Samuel chapter 20. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 20. Number one, we need to humble ourselves and understand that we're not too good to go through hard times. 2 Samuel chapter 20, in verse 9 through 13. 2 chapter 20 and verse 9 said, but Amasa took no heed. The context here, there's a misunderstanding. There's a battle, but verse 10, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him there within the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Shebah, the son of Becher, the Shebah's man that was chasing, and one of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favors Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Asa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. And when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still, we should hear that there was a fight. Joab had kill this man, that he went on to pursue the person that he was chasing. And one of the men said, "All right, guys, let's all go." And they just stopped, and they looked there. They saw the man that was killed. As he said, and they stopped and looked. Sometimes things come our way that just stop us in our tracks. All of us have been, or one day we will, be stopped in our tracks by a trial or a trouble that would come in into our lives. I don't care how tough we are, there are things that can stop us in our tracks. Things that we'll never forget. And so in order to get them to advance to go on, the man took and he covered the man and he pulled him out of the way. The first thing we have to do to be prosperous is to be humble enough to understand this. I'm not too good to suffer. I'm not too good for hard times coming into my way. If tomorrow God allows us to go through what Job went through, we're not too good for that. Job was a perfect and upright man. And when God says you're perfect and upright, you're perfect and upright. And yet he went through all he went through. The second thing we have to do, sometimes we have to cover our wrongs. Whatever has stopped us in our tracks. I don't know, death and mission, we deal with people there, they have a lot of baggage. But just not the mission out here as well. It's not just one person, this person, this group, or that group. All folks, according to Job, all of us will go through the hard times. Sometimes people get so focused on the trouble or the trial, they can't advance, they can't go on. They're stuck. Like these people here, they were stuck in their tracks. And you know, I think it's important for us to stop looking back, you know, and start to go on. You know, with each time that Joseph was wrong, he could stop and said, "Man, my brothers, they laugh at me all the time, and they're just mean to me, and they do this and this and that." He could have stopped there. But he didn't mention in the word, you know, in his right, you know, the word of God here, you know, and he went on. He got there when they sold for a slave. I mean, when he put in the pit, he could have stopped. Man, my brothers are so mean, and he could have not let go of that. But he did, you know, in each step of the way, he continued to go on. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I believe this verse here teaches this principle. Philippians chapter 3. It's not that we forget like we think of, but look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brother, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here we look at the word forget. It means to loose or neglect. It means to loose or neglect. In our lives, there's hard times that come. But Alex, can you come in real quick? I use you a long time. Here's Alex. In his life, sooner or later, things are going to happen in his life that he doesn't like. He doesn't understand. And he's to forget. Not we like we think forget, because once it's in our mind, it's there. There are things that things in us. Sometimes I'll be talking to somebody, and something in my mind comes back from my childhood. I think, man, where'd that come from? We never forget. But what he can do, he can not focus on that, and he can let loose of that, and he can continue to go on. He can let go, and he goes over here. You know what? And the longer he gets away from that, and he's focusing ahead, the less hold that will have on him. So in our lives, when things happen, I can cover them up, and I can go on, or I can stand there, and be so concentrated on that that I don't go. That I don't go ahead and pursue that which is good. Thank you, Alex. Okay, if you go and turn over to Philippians chapter 4, I think it is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. Philippians 4, 6 and 8. Philippians 4, 6 and 8. But be careful for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He can choose to stop and to concentrate and not let go of what happened in his life. Or he could choose to think of things that are honest, are just, are pure, are lovely, of good report, and you know, and then keep on going with life. The more I this month in our social class next door, it's been on hurts, and all of us have or will go through hurts. We can be like Abraham. And we could try to take care of ourselves and do it man's way, and we can end up in a mess. We can choose to be like Joseph, humble ourselves and realize that we're not too good to suffer. I know when I was in college, my wife and I, we got married, and we had another friend. Our friends were a little bit older. They had a couple of kids, and her name was Pam. And Pam was got pregnant. And of course, everybody was all excited about it. They already had a name picked out, the whole nine yards. And Pam went to the her name it was Pam, wasn't it? Terry. Her name was Pam. And she went to the doctor to get back, and they called us, and then they said, Rick, they said, you know, her husband said, Pam's got cancer. Would you pray? And wow, when you're at college and you think you got a handle on the world, those things can stop you in your tracks. They can just make you stop. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, if we do the procedures to save your life, it's going to cost you the child's life. But if we can take the child, we can save you. I think I was probably 21, so I think they was like 20, 25 years old, 26 years old. All the guys at work, we all get together with Terry, and we would all have prayer, but such class would have prayer with Pam and Terry. And they chose to let God choose. And they chose to let God choose. She didn't have the treatments. She went the full 9 months. She had the baby. The baby was born. She held the baby. And then she died. Terry said, I choose to trust God and go on with my life and raise my boys for God. Terry hurt. Terry mourned. I can't imagine what he went through. I cannot imagine to this day what he went through. But he chose not to forget Pam. He chose to go on, to go ahead. Eventually, he remarried. He pastors a church. But he had to make a choice. Am I going to stop dead in my tracks? And am I going to stay here and just mourn and, you know, and grieve and blame God? Am I going to do all these things? Or am I going to go on and serve God? God blessed him because of it. Did he hurt? Oh, yes. Did he cry a lot? Oh, yes. But he chose to think on things that are lovely and just and pure and wholesome. To think on God. He prospered. He went on. In our lives, we're not too good to suffer, folks. If tomorrow the worst things happen to us, every time I go to the doctor, I say, I'm not going no more. They find something else wrong every time you go. But you know what? We're not too good for that. And tomorrow, if something something tragic happens in our lives, let's choose to cover it up and to go on. It's not that we forget. We never forget. Anytime going down in Elmwood, I see places that bring back memories. Some good memories and some bad memories. But our minds don't forget. But we can let loose, we can let go, and we can advance. If there's something in your life tonight that just got you stopped dead in your tracks and you can't go on, just remember, we're not too good for that to happen to us. Number two, let's cover it up and say, Lord, this hurts, and then begin to think on things of God and begin to praise God, because when Isaiah whenever we praise God, it takes care of. I forget the exact word, but equivalent. If I praise God, I'll be less depressed. In our lives, we're not too good to suffer. In our lives, if we're stopped dead in our tracks, let's cover it up and let loose that hold that it had on us, and let's go forward and be prosperous.